Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
Have you ever gone through the love chapter, as some people call it, 1 Corinthians 13, and read it aloud, but replacing the words love or it with your own name? So, for example, I would read it this way. Dustin is patient and kind. Dustin does not envy or boast. Dustin's not arrogant or rude. Dustin doesn't insist on his own way. So, you get the point, right? Well, the point is that this text, man, it just humbles us, doesn't it? I mean, we're reading something out loud that we know that is not entirely true. Well, today we start a brand new series with someone who has lots of stories on humility. Christopher West is a best-selling author, speaker, teacher, and world-renowned expert on John Paul II's theology of the body. Christopher's exposition on how the human body magnifies and glorifies God is something that everyone should hear. His writings are deeply biblical, Christ-centered, and at the end of the day, quite profound. If you're not familiar with the name Christopher West or the work of Pope John Paul II's theology of the body, you, my friend, are in for a real treat this week. Let me point you to his website. It's ChristopherWest.com. We've had Christopher on the show several years ago when we were discussing his book, Fill These Hearts. And this week, you know what? We get to see a personal side of Christopher with his new book. It's titled Love is Patient, But I'm Not, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. So on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss three things. Number one, the gap of what we're called to be and where we are. Number two, how God works in reality. And number three, taking an honest inventory of our own lives. Today's show is titled, Why Waiting is the Hardest Part. Christopher, we've had you on the show before, and this title seems so un-Christopher West-ish.
Well, no, first, I have a question for you. Why do you say it sounds un-Christopher West-ish?
Well, you know, it's one of those things, too, where your other books are just, and I love them because they're just so solid. And this one, I could just tell from the very get-go, man, this has a lot of personality in it, a lot of you, a lot of stories. And I just smiled when I heard the title and I read it last night. So
yeah, the title is resonating with people. Love is patient, but I'm not. Here's how the book came about. I was sharing with a priest friend of mine how much I really was valuing something that Pope Francis had said about the hymn to love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not boastful. We're all very familiar. Any Christian is familiar with St. Paul's great hymn to love. Pope Francis had written some marvelous reflections on this hymn to love. And this priest friend of mine said, you know, that would make a great examination of conscience. And as Christians, we all have to take an honest look at what goes on in our hearts. We all have to take an honest look about the gap that I would call it a gap between what we're called to be and where we are. And I started reflecting more and more deeply on St. Paul's hymn to love and looking at, okay, am I patient? Love is patient. Am I patient? I don't know. I yell at my kids all the time. I'm really impatient. Love, you know, just go down the list. Love is patient. Love is kind. Am I kind? Well, I try to be kind, but sometimes I really want to, you know, somebody cuts me off in traffic, and I really want to let them have it.
Amen.
So
amen.
It was an opportunity to say, okay, we know what we're called to, but we also, if we're honest, we know we're not there. And we got to be real about that. God works in reality. And I know in my own life, I've had this false impression that saints are somehow perfect people. Mm. And they're not. Saints are not perfect people. Saints are people who know they are perfectly loved in all their imperfections. And that's what this book is really all about. It's saying, okay, I'm a guy that, you know, because of my work and my role proclaiming a biblical vision of human love and human sexuality, people look at me and they say, well, you must have figured it out.
Sure.
This is a book that lets people know, no, I have not figured it out. I am a broken human being. I'm looking for the answers like everybody's looking for them. And so the subtitle is here, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. And I know, having shared my story around the world since the 1990s, I know I'm not the only recovering perfectionist out there.
Oh, my goodness. No, not at all. And I love the aspect of really getting your background and some of the stories that you share, Christopher. You write this: I actually believed it was the loving and caring thing to do to help my wife learn how to think and act more like I did. And you're talking about patience there.
Yeah. Yeah. I came into, and I tell a bunch of these stories in the book, I came into married life. This was 1995. And, you know, you're running into the first years of married life. You're running into the real differences that you have with this other human being. And rather than see my wife's differences as an opportunity for me to be enriched, right? That's what it's meant to be.
Sure.
my wife's differences are meant to enrich me. They're meant to expand the way I see the world. You know, men and women see the world differently. And I came into married life actually thinking it was the loving thing to help my wife see the world more and more the way I do. And I come to find out that's just arrogant.
I'm laughing because I do the same thing.
That is not love. That is not the love that St. Paul talks about.
I thought I was the only one that was doing that.
So you and me both, Dustin, we have a lot to learn, don't we?
Oh, man alive. And then, you know, as you were talking about patience, and, you know, that was, you tell that story right when you were getting married. And then how does patience manifest itself out when you have children?
Lordy, love us. Oh, my. My opening story in the book is about this time when I walked into the living room and there's a deck of cards, like the 100th deck of cards in the last few months that was just sprawled out all over the living room. And I said, does anybody know about this deck of cards? What's going on with this deck of cards? And my daughter, Bess, she was 13 or 12 or 13 at the time. I don't remember. And she says, it's just a deck of cards, Dad. And it was, you know, it wasn't like she was talking back. It wasn't disrespectful. It was more like saying, hey, yo, Dad, we're kids and we're having fun. Isn't that okay? Aren't we supposed to be able to do that? Why are you losing your cool?
Mm.
And it was a real kind of eye-opening opportunity for me to take a look at, why am I so bent out of shape about a deck of cards? It's just a deck of cards, as my daughter said. And, you know, we have multiple moments like that throughout the course of a day. And the purpose of really looking at these things is not to beat ourselves up. That would be the wrong attitude. But to take an honest inventory of our lives and say, okay, where do I need to let the light of God's love into my heart more deeply? It's not enough just for us to say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We got to let that love in. And we got to let that love change us. And that's what this book is really all about. It's about one guy's journey of learning how to take these inventories, stop in the middle of a day and say, okay, I'm acting out of old Adam here, to put it in St. Paul's language. Is old Adam having its way in me, or is new Adam having his way in me? And we all got to be willing to do that. And you know, as we do that, we come to experience more and more deeply, not God's wrath or condemnation, but his mercy and his salvation. That's what we need.
Patience is, I find it interesting that St. Paul actually, when he's crafting and writing 1 Corinthians 13, that patience is the first one, Christopher. It's the first one, like it's the one that we need the most work on. And I think God has a sense of humor in that, don't you?
You know, we could actually look, Dustin, I don't know if you've ever had this perspective, but we could actually look at the original sin as a lack of patience. And here's what I mean. You know, of course, there are other ways to look at it. Generally, we observe that the original sin was an act of pride, and of course it is that. But let's look at it from this angle. So God says not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We all know the story. But here's the point. It's not that God did not want us to have a knowledge of good and evil. He certainly wants us to have a knowledge of good and evil. But he wants to give us that knowledge. He does not want us to take it for ourselves. That's the symbol of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, Eve was not wrong to say the fruit looked pleasing to her eyes and delicious for food. A proper knowledge of good and evil is indeed good food, right? God wants to give us that good food. But it was kind of like a test. Will you wait on me? You know, wait on the Lord. Be stout-hearted. Take courage and wait on the Lord. Or, in the words of Prophet Tom Petty, you take it on faith, you take it in the heart. The waiting is the hardest part.
So can you relate to not wanting to wait? Well, of course. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy that thinks putting a frozen burrito in the microwave for 30 seconds is just way too long. You know what I mean? Now, if you want to read what God has to say about waiting, open up your Bible to the Psalms. If there is one word that wraps up those 150 chapters, it would have to be wait. I mean, listen to this. Psalm 27, verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 33, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And Psalm 130, verse 5, I will wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Christopher West and his new book, Love is Patient, But I'm Not, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. We'll learn Christopher's turning point in his marriage and how that applies to you. Well, thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. Starting in the middle of March, I'm going to be hosting several online weekly groups for pornography and sex addiction. I'm going to be teaching out of my new book. It's called The Sex Spiral. And there are four classes to choose from, two on Monday mornings and two on Wednesday mornings. Each class is limited to 12 people, and this is so affordable. And really, this is the best way to exit the spiral of addiction as well. And that is to be discipled in a biblical, healthy, sexual way. It's also a great way to ask your personal questions. So jump on the website to learn more, dustindaniels.org. And also, if you got a question or comment about today's episode, join the conversation on the website as well. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. And if you'd like, share this episode with a friend, pastor, maybe your priest or your minister. Share it with your children, your grandchildren. We need to learn deep into our bones what God's definition, what he teaches about marriage and sexuality. Well, in Matthew 5:8, the words of Jesus, he says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again on Monday.